Today's daf is daf Zayin. We're going to start at the bottom of Vav Amud Bet, just to review. We had this case where we saw Yativ Rav Yosef Acharei Rav Abba, three lines from the bottom. Rav Yosef was standing with Rabbi Abba, and Rabbi Abba was standing Kamei Rav Huna. V'yativ Ka'amra, Rav Huna said, Hilchatak Rav Yishua ben Korcha v'hilchatak Rav Yehuda. So then what happened? So Hilchatak Rabbi Yeshua, we said Hadamaran. That was the machloka we just saw, which was that Malve Bishtar, we're going to distinguish between a Malve Bishtar and a Malve Alpeh when it comes to non-Jews collecting loans from them. So if it's a Malve Bishtar, then you can't collect from them because the assumption is he'll be happy that, to be rid of the loan.
But you if can't it's a, collect from him before Chag.
Before the Chag, yeah. If it's a Malve Alpeh, then you can collect it from him before the Chag because you're basically... It's not right. An opportunity that comes, you think you might never ever get the money back. And then we said, okay, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but then we said, okay, so that was the Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, that we paskin like that. And Hilchatak Rabbi Yehuda, about this case where you bring the wool to the dyer, and the dyer dyes it the wrong color, and we saw there's Machloka, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, about do you just have to, you basically keep the wool and return the value of the wool that the person gave you, or Rabbi Yehuda who says, you basically yado ala tachtona if you mess up, and therefore either he's just going to have to pay you for your hotza'ot, which quite likely includes also the time you spent on it, or right, obviously you give him the wool, as opposed to Rabbi Meir says you don't give him, you know, the wool that you dyed. You give him the wool that you dyed, and then he just has to pay you the lower price, either reimburse you for your hotza'ot if that was less money, or pay you the value of it right now if that was more money, if that was less money than what your hotza'o were, your costs. And then we saw this, the last thing we ended with was Ahadrinu Rav Yosef La'ape, the fourth line. Rav Yosef turned his face away in anger. Okay, what was he so angry about? So we're going to say it like this. Bishlama, it makes sense that Rav Huna said halacha to Rav Yosef ben Korcha. Makes sense that he said that that's the halacha. Itzrich, we needed to say that because salkadat tachamina yachiv rabim halacha ke rabim. We understand that when we have a machloket, an individual versus rabim, usually we hold by the rabim, and therefore he needed to tell us that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Korcha. But and therefore kamash malan halacha ke yachid. Okay, that we pass in dafka like Rabbi Yehuda ben Korcha in this case. What we're basically going to see, I'll already tell you so you understand where we're going, is that Rabbi Yosef was annoyed that he was saying the halacha is like this because isn't it obvious? Okay, so Rabbi Yosef ben Korcha wasn't so obvious. Okay, right, you'd think, why get so angry about such a thing? But okay, right, that's why I wanted to tell you what we're doing before we get there because it's going to seem a little strange. You might have assumed he was angry with him that he paskin that way. No. He was angry with him that he bothered to say such a thing because isn't it obvious? Because we have all sorts of klalim about how to paskin halacha. We're going to talk about some of them today. So one is yachiv rabim al-chake rabim. Generally, we paskin by the majority. That's because acharei rabim lahatot. And therefore, it makes sense he wanted to tell us that in this case, it's unique and we paskin like Rabbi Shoben Korcha. Ela halachak rabbi Yehuda lamali. Pshita, it's totally obvious halachas like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? De machloket v'achar kach stam hilchita kistam. When there's a machloket about something, and then there's a stam mishnah, we have all sorts of kalim about a stam mishnah, then hilchita kistam. Now generally Rabbi Yochanan holds, that we've seen this in a number of cases, the halacha kistam mishnah. But not everybody agrees with that, not even everybody agrees with Rabbi Yochanan holds that way. So it's one thing to say halacha kistam mishnah, that we get. But when in this case, there's both a machloket and a mishnah about it, and there's a stam mishnah that holds like Rabbi Yehuda about it. If it was just the stam mishnah, so maybe we could have an argument. But because in general, there's this concept that when there first appears a machloket, and then it appears in a mishnah as a stam, meaning without, stam always means it's just said plainly without any machloket. So when it appears in that particular order, everyone agrees halacha kistam. Now, I actually made a mistake yesterday. I remember the sugya being in the sixth parak of Baba Metzia, but it's not in the Mishnah in Baba Metzia in the sixth parak. It's in the Mishnah in Baba Kama. And then it comes up in the Mishnah, in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, they quote the Mishnah. And the reason they quote the Mishnah is because in Baba Metzia is the Stam Mishnah that holds like Rabbi Yehuda. So I remembered it from there, but its source is from Baba Kama. So, Machloket b'Baba Kama, in other words, the Mishnah first appears in Baba Kama, and then after, there's a Stam Mishnah b'Baba Metzia. So therefore, we'll get to in a minute what the Stam Mishnah is and how it's like Rabbi Yehuda. But the basic concept here is, since it started with a machloket and Bava Kama, and then afterwards there was a Stam Mishnah, so when it goes in that order, machloket and Stam, everyone agrees, halacha k'stam. So why are you bothering to specifically tell us halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda? It's obvious. How do we know with the Stam Mishnah Bava Mitzvah goes like Rabbi Yehuda? Ditznan, it says in the Mishnah there, there we're talking about worker relations and you give someone something to do. Kola mishanei yado ala tachtona. Anyone who changes from what you told him to do, yado ala tachtona. So there you have it. It's exactly the same as Rabbi Yehuda, which is, since you changed and he wanted it black and you dyed it red, or he wanted it red, you dyed it black, you're yadat ala tachtona, and you therefore get paid the lower amount. And then it said also, v'chol chozer bo yado ala tachtona. That's not relevant to our case, but that's if you make an agreement with someone and you renege. So again, yado ala tachtona. So now we're going to have a ping pong back and forth. What Rav Yehuda, what Rav Huna holds, and what Rav Yosef held. Okay, so Rav Yosef basically says it's machloka v'har kachstam. So Rav Huna, mishum de'ein, again, this isn't Rav Huna talking, we're just going to assume this is what Rav Huna was thinking. Rav Huna, mishum de'ein seder l'mishnah. He says, there's no particular order in the Mishnah. De'ika l'meimar, stam tana bereisha, v'har kach machloket. In other words, the rabbi, how was the Mishnah organized? The Mishnah was a collection of halachot, and they got organized based on the context and the topic. But there's no particular order to say, oh, well, Bava Kama came first, and then Bava Metzia. No, there's Bava Metzia, there's Bava Kama. There's no particular order. So then they say, well, Rav Huna, if that's what you say, Rav Yosef is going to retort back, Yihachi komachloka b'achar kastam, lema ein seder l'mishnah. So every time, don't we have this principle, machloket, and then stam, halacha kastam? So you're basically rejecting that whole concept. So you can probably figure out where this is going. Kilo amrinan ein seder b'chad mesechta, betray mesechta amrinan. When we say there's no particular seder, what are we talking about? Within two mesechto, there's no seder. But within one mesechet, there's a seder, which makes sense. As Rabbi Yehuda and Asi put together the Mishnah, so there was an order to the Mishnayot in the mesechet. By the way, what's the concept of this whole thing? Machloka v'char kach stam, halacha kastam? Because if when they put together the Mishnah, and they mentioned there was a machloket about something, but then later said, oh, well, this is just stam the halacha, the assumption is they were saying, oh, well, that's to tell you that we paskin like this opinion in that machloket. Okay, that's the idea here. So basically, we're going to have a debate here whether Rav Yosef says, we look at the order of all of Shas, and if there's a machloket and somewhere in Shas and then stam, we're going to say halacha kestam. But Rav Huna is going to say, ah, yafeh, so that's going to be the next retort. Okay? You're getting very good. So now, what does he say? So within two masechta, though, right, we don't say. Rav Yosef, kula nezikin chada masechta hi. But isn't nezikin all one masechta? Aren't the bavas considered one big unit? Okay, here you see it explicitly in the Gemara. Okay, so that's Rav Yosef's answer, basically. Okay, Rav Yosef says, this is, right, so we end with Rav Yosef, basically. What was Rav Yosef? This basically explains what Rav Yosef was so angry about, because until now we tried to say, well, can't you say this, can't you say that? So Rav Yosef was so angry about is that he looks at this as a machloket b'char kach stam, halacha kastam, and therefore, how can you say, why did you bother saying we pass like Rav Yehuda? It's obvious. Okay? V'ibayt Ema, another reason why he was angry with him, could have been mishum dekatane le'gabe hilchata psikta. Okay, there's a concept of halacha psuka. Where does it come up? The most famous halacha psuka, at least in my mind, is Abaye says in, I believe it's in Brachot, it must be, where they talk about you shouldn't start davening, you shouldn't start learning before you daven, because you'll get sidetracked. Okay, and then you'll get into your learning and you might forget to daven. So he says the only thing you can do is you can learn a halacha psuka, something that there's no machloket about. Because the idea is once there's a machloket, you're going to get involved in the different opinions and you'll get carried away. So they say, and he says, kigon, what's the classic halacha psuka? Rabbi Zeira. Dama Rabbi Zeira, b'na Yisrael chmira, alatzman shafilu roti patam kechardal, yoshvot ala shivanakim. The line about the b'na Yisrael shachmira, alatzman. We get to Nida, we'll talk about it more. I have interesting things to say about it. Anyway, you'll have to wait till then. Okay. So anyway, what's halacha psuka? It's something there's no machloket about. which means it's totally obvious and everyone knows this is how we paskin. So therefore, he says, since his halacha was written with other halachot that are clear-cut and obvious and nobody disagrees, it's obvious we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. And where is that? That's this Mishnah that we saw in Bava Metzia. Kol ha-mashaneh yadol ha-tachtona v'chol ha-chozer v'yadol ha-tachtona. That's something that's not up for debate. It's not a debatable item. It has nothing to do, again, these are two ways of reading it. Either we say it's machlokah v'char kach stam, or we just say that this Mishnah is a Mishnah full of halachot psukot that everyone agrees about, and therefore it was so obvious you really didn't need to say it. Tanu Rabbanan. Lo yomar adam l'chavero hanir'eh she'tamod imi la'erev. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer Adam L'chaveiro Hanir'eh She'tamod Iti La'erev. Okay, this we're now off the topic. We're dealing with other halachot of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. There's an issue about Shabbat, that on Shabbat you're not supposed to talk about Uvde Dechol. Okay, this comes from this pasuk in Yeshayahu, V'daber Davar, right? Im Tashim Shabbat Reglecha, Me'asoch Chafetzecha. I forget the whole pasuk. But, right, and then it says V'daber, what? Were you quoting it?
Yeah.
Yeah, so what is it after? Me'asoch Chafetzecha? And then v'daber davar? Okay, v'daber davar. So they say daber davar, your dibor on Shabbat should be different from your dibor on Chol. And therefore, you shouldn't talk about something that's for after Shabbat that you're not allowed to do on Shabbat. So if you see a friend, you shouldn't say to them, she'tamodi mi la'erev, meet up with me in the evening, when really what you're talking about is you want to hire him. But Rabbi Shoben Korcha says you can say Shetamodi Tila Erev. Okay, I don't know if you do this, but right, it's a way you can talk about, you can make reference to something that's going to be after Shabbat, right, without kind of saying about anything that's forbidden to do. Even though it's maybe obvious what you're referring to, but you can't talk about something that is a sort to do on Shabbat, you know, and talk about it on Shabbat. So basically, Rabbi Shoben Korcha says this is okay, and I'm a Rabbi Yochanan, Hilchatak Rabbi Shoben Korcha. Okay, you can see why this is coming, because they want to say all sorts of cases where the rabbis disagree with Rabbi Shoben Korcha. This is going to be the topic of our day, really, of people who disagree with the common opinion and what the reaction of people, what the reaction was. In this case, they're going to paskin like Rabbi Shoben Korcha in a number of cases. Tanu Rabbanan. Hanish'al, but it's not going to be the same with everybody, we're going to see. Hanish'al l'chacham v'timei, lo yish'al l'chacham v'yitaher. L'chacham v'asar, lo yish'al l'chacham v'yatir. Okay, if you ask a question of someone who says it's tamei, don't go to another rabbi and ask him to be mitaher. Or if he forbade something to you, don't go to another chacham to get it matir. Hayu shnayim, echad mitamei v'echad mitaher. Echad oser v'echad matir. What if you go and ask people sitting in the Beit Midrash, and there happen to be two rabbis there. Obviously, it doesn't have to be the Beit Midrash. It could be anywhere. And you ask them both, and one says one answer, one says the other, the opposite. So what do you do? So according to Tanna Kamma, the Chachamim, what do? Imayacha mehem gadol mechavero b'chochma v'minyan halach acharav. If he was greater in wisdom and in minyan, okay, this is strange. This is usually we talk about a Beit Din. That's gadol mimedu b'chokhma v'minyan. It could be he, right, which means they have a greater number of people, or it could be they just. It's always even a debate. What do you mean the Beit Din had a greater number of people? They all have the same number of people. So what minyan means in general? Maybe age, could be age. So maybe that's what they mean here. So if he's greater b'chokhma and in age, then halach acharav. Then you follow the older, wiser one. Ve'im lav, and if not, then halach achar machmir. You should go with the machmir way. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha omer, b'shal Torah halach achar machmir, b'shal sofrim halach achar mekel. Okay, basically says it depends if it's d'oraita d'rabbanan. And d'rabbanan, in general, we have this concept, right? Sefek d'rabbanan l'kula. So if it's d'rabbanan, we go by the mekel one. If it's d'oraita, we go by the machmir one. And Amar Rav Yosef, Hilchatak Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha. Again, it's right, this time it's Rav Yosef saying it, right? He was the one who was, yeah. Although he wasn't against Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha part, at least. You have to remember, by the way, I should just mention, that story is another case where the story happened, and we don't really know why Rav Yosef got angry. I forgot to mention, this is important. The Gemara is giving us a commentary and suggesting that the reason he got angry was because it was so obvious that we passed like Rabbi Yehuda. But it could very well be that there was a different reason. It was just the people living later who heard this story, that's what they could come up with. But it's possible, which seems like a weird, right? Why was he so angry if he was just possibly in something obvious? So it could be that there was some other reason why he was angry. So I just want to point that out in terms of levels in the Gemara, and you know, the Gemara is built in levels that are not necessarily all happening at the same time. So clearly the Bishlama is all the Gemara is saying, well, let's try to figure out. Obviously it wasn't this, it was must have been something else. But who knows? Maybe it was something else. Tanu Rabbanan. Bikulan shechazru bahen ein mekablim otan olamit. Okay, this is a very interesting issue which we talked about in Sanhedrin. Okay, Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says all these people who are psulim lahaid, okay, or people who did bad things, once they do tshuva, we still don't accept them. Okay, we still don't trust them. Why? Talked about this in Sanhedrin. They could do tshuva between them and God, but we don't really know. Okay. Rashi says that this is referring to gazlanim and ameha aretz. Okay, it's unclear exactly whether this issue is only for testimony or it's for other things. Let's say you have an ameha aretz. We have all sorts of halachot that relate to if someone's an ameha aretz versus a chaver, how we treat, you know, are we choshed on their masrot and other things. So basically we're going to say that let's say kashrut issues, right? You can rely on someone who's ne'eman, edecha ne'eman bisurin. You can rely on someone if he says his house is kosher. What if he didn't used to keep kosher and now he says his house is kosher? Can you assume that he really legitimately was chozer b'tshuva or not? So, according to Rabbi Meir, you can never accept them. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, chazru behem b'matmoniot, e mekablim otam. B'farhesya, mekablim otam. Okay, if they did it secretly, okay, then you don't accept them. But if they accept it upon themselves in public to do tshuva, then you can accept them. Why is there this difference between doing it in public or in private? The assumption is if somebody does tshuva in private and then privately, you know, it's very easy to just undo your tshuva. But once you go public and say, oh, I'm now keeping the mitzvot and I did tshuva on what I did, you're not going to necessarily so easily go back on it. The peer pressure type thing, right? The way people are perceiving you, once you do it in public, the assumption is you're not going to necessarily undo it so easily. Ikadamre, some people say, Asu divrehem b'matmoniyot mekablin otan. If their averot were in secret, then we accept them. But b'farhesya ein mekablin otan. But this is really because it's so much worse to do averot b'farhesya. They were doing it really like lahachis or to make a big show of it. Then we think it's less likely that their tshuva is serious. Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, Omrim. Now we see why we're getting into this, because what does Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha say? Ben kach uben kach mekablim. Okay? Whether secret, whether in private, whether in public, whether it was their averot or whether it was their tshuva, it was in private or public, we accept them. If an Am Haaretz decides to become religious, we're accepting, right? This is the inclusive approach. Shneamar shuvu banim shofevim. Notice what it tells them, right? It calls them shofevim, which are, right, rebellious. Okay, so return your rebellious sons, meaning even when they return, they might be somewhat rebellious, but we still accept them. They're still banim, and you know the idea is we should accept them when they do tshuva. Okay, and Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Ish Kvar Ako, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hilchatako Toazu. We paskin like Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, which is, you know, again, this relates a little bit to the concept of our Masechet, right? About, again, it's not necessarily Jews, non-Jews, but it's keepers of the mitzvot and non-keepers of the mitzvot. And this inclusive approach, we should be including them. Okay, moving on to the next mission, which we've quoted a few times already. Rabbi Yishmael omer shlosha lefnehem v'shlosha l'achareihem asur. So Rabbi Yishmael says, 3 days before, 3 days after is forbidden. You remember our Tanakhama said, 3 days before the holiday is forbidden. We said that in the end, we concluded that it must be 3 days before, not including the day of the holiday. Chachamim omrim lifnei dehem asur l'achari dehem mutar. Chachamim say before the holiday is asur, after the holiday is mutar. So now the big question is going to be, well, the Chachamim here sound like Tanakhama. Okay, the Chachamim here are not much different than Tanakhama in our Mishnah. So again, Rabbi Shmuel says 3 days before and 3 days after is forbidden. Chachamim say before is forbidden, after is mutar. And that's basically the exact same thing as Tanakhama. Now you might say, well, it's in this Mishnah, not that Mishnah. But remember, the Mishnah, we're reading them split up by, you know, 5 days. But they, you know, the Mishnah was written one right after the other. So it makes no sense to have Tanakhama say before the holiday 3 days is forbidden. Rabbi Shmuel says before and after it's forbidden. And Chachamim say only before is forbidden, not after. It's the exact same thing as Tanakhama. So Amar of Tachlifa Bar Avdimi, Amar Shmuel. This is what we saw yesterday. Yom Aleph, right? Now here, okay, here's interesting. So remember we saw this yesterday, right? We said Yom Aleph, Lidivri Rabbi Yishmael Le'olam Asur. And we said Yom Aleph, in other texts it says Notzrim Le'olam Asur because of their Sundays. Here it's interesting. Dafka doesn't say Notzrim. Look at the Bet. The Bet takes you to the Haggadah Rabbah if you have it. So the Bet, I'm sorry, the Mesoret Ashas. In the Mesoret Ashas it says, okay, at the top inside, it says Lidivrei Rabbi Yishmael Yom Avodak Kochavim Le'olam Asur. Okay, and there it talks about idol worshippers and not Christians at all, which also seems like a mistake, right? It doesn't make sense that that would be, because we're really talking about Christians who have Sunday as their holiday.
Is that a censor thing?
Yeah, so that's the censor thing, like we saw the other day. So again, Linotrim we could say, right? Yom Aleph Linotrim L'Divrei Rabbi Yishmael, or Linotrim Bichlal, not just Yom Aleph, right? It means, because of Yom Aleph, L'Divrei Rabbi Yishmael Le'olam Asur. Okay, you could say that they put in Yom Aleph as a way to reference it, right? Because what it means is Sunday, Le'olam Asur. They obviously don't mean Sunday, they mean because of Sundays, on account of Sundays, of the Christians, right? According to Rabbi Yishmael, is always going to be forbidden, because 3 days before, 3 days after, and then the day Sunday, that basically covers the entire week. Last time we brought in the statement to prove that it meant non-including, right? But then we said, oh, well, that only means Shmuel, it only means Rabbi Yishmael, it doesn't say anything about Chachamim. The Chachamim omrim lifnei dehem asur lachar dehem mutar. Chachamim hainu Tanakama. But isn't, like I said, when we read the Mishnah, it's the same thing as Tanakama. So now we're going to have a number of suggestions as to what's the difference. And these, for the most part, it's pretty arbitrary. They're going to say there must be some difference, and it must be that Tanakama says this and Chachamim say that, even though we don't really know who's who. Okay, I read somewhere where it said that there's an assumption that when there's one first and then the next one, that the next one is coming to be, I guess, less machmir or something. Maybe that's anyway, I think it's more arbitrary. We're just going to say one means this and one means that. So, hein below edehem ika b'hinayu. Okay, the whole nafkamina between the two is, do they include the days, right? Does it, the 3 days include the holiday, meaning it's really only 2 days before, or does the 3 days not include the holiday? Tanakama Savar, like we already proved earlier, hein below edehem, right? In the end, remember, we use the Lashon of the Mishnah specifically to say it. The Rabbanan Batrai Savre, hein ve'edehen. Okay, since they just say before is asur, after is mutar, before, they mean before and including. Ibait Ema, or you could suggest, Nasava Natan Ika Benayu. This issue we saw yesterday about if you went and worked, you did business with them anyway against the halacha, what do we do? Are you forbidden Isur Hana'a or not? Ika Benayu. Tanakama Savar, Nasava Natan Mutar. So Tanakama would hold that if you did it anyway, it's Mutar. So Lefnei Dehem, you can't do this, but if you did, okay. And Rabbanan Batrai and the Chachamim who say Lefnei Dehem Asur Lachar Dehem Mutar would say Savar Nasava Natan Asur. Okay, there would be more Machmir. In the first reading, there would be more Mekel, right? So I don't know why I read someone who seemed to say that you would always say the later one, because here one's Mekel, one's Machmir, you know, according to this reading. Okay, I wanted to point out there was something I forgot to mention. I mentioned only after class yesterday that in this issue of Nasava Natan Asur. Okay, basically, what are we saying? If we do it, the Chachamim penalize you. Okay, and this whole thing is only Asur Midrabanan, and the rabbis penalize you if you did the business anyway, right? You went against the halachas, so we're going to penalize you that you can't get Hana'ah. However, the Ritva says, since only Iknas Chachamim, that if you did do business with them, you can't benefit, but someone else can benefit from the money. And it's not like you have to throw the money in the garbage, okay? And he even goes as far as to say even your children can benefit from it, which is really like you benefiting. So he kind of minimizes the whole halacha of asur. V'ibai dema d'shmuel ikabenayu. Maybe this halacha of Shmuel is the difference between them. What halacha of Shmuel? Damar Shmuel, bagola, okay? He's going to distinguish between Eretz Yisrael and Galut. Bagola ein asur ela yom edam. Okay, in Gola, it's only forbidden on the day of the holiday. So Tanakama itle de Shmuel, Rabbanan batrai leitlu de Shmuel. So Tanakama will say, says 3 days before, but he only means in Eretz Yisrael. But in Galut, it's only going to be the day of the holiday. Okay, the reasons I saw given is because there, again, this must be based on some sort of distinction between the Jews that were living in Israel and the non-Jews that were living in Israel and the non-Jews that were living in Babel and their preparations for the holiday. In other words, there, it seems like maybe all their preparations were done on the day of, and therefore there was no isur to do things beforehand. It could be also that there was more of a need to matir in the Gola, whereas in Israel, there's you could do a lot of business with Jews, there's a lot more of a Jewish population, so maybe that's a reason. Although it seemed that the Emoraim in Bavel, there were plenty of them, and there was a lot of, you know, they were all business people, a lot of these rabbis, and I'm sure they had enough of within their own also. But again, it depends where you're living in Bavel. If you're living in the center, yes, but if you're living more in the periphery, then maybe it's much more difficult. And because of that, maybe they matured it in the Gola. Also, notice who says it, Shmuel. Shmuel, who's one of the first Emoraim to move to Bavel, right? So, first of all, things weren't thriving in his time yet because, right, I mean, things were starting to thrive, but not majorly. There weren't Jews all over everywhere. And maybe, you know, it makes sense that he'd be the one saying this, that, oh, the needs in the Galut are different and we have to, you know, change it. So he claims, Begola en asur ala yomei dam. So we would say like this. Tanakama agrees with Shmuel that lifnei dehem shlosha yomim is asur, but only in Bavel, Eretz Israel. In Bavel, it's not the case. We're anywhere in Chutz Laaretz. Ram Banam Batrai, Leilu de Shmuel, and the later rabbis who say, again, it's, you can't read this from the words of what they say. It's only suggesting, these are all arbitrary suggestions of differences in the halacha between them. Bilifnei dehem asur, lachar dehem mutar, is referring to anywhere. Okay, both in Bavel and in Eretz Israel, or anywhere in the Gola. Ibait Ema, de Nachum HaMadi Kabenayu. Okay, we saw this Nachum HaMadi before. What does he say? Detanya, I mentioned this in the beginning, that he appears in the Tosefta. Nachum HaMadi Omer, Eino Asor Ela Yom Echad Lifnei Edehem. Okay, so maybe it's based on this Nachum HaMadi, that it's only forbidden one day before the Chag. Tanakama, late in Achum Amadi. So Tanakama, what does Tanakama say? Notice the difference in the Lashon. Tanakama said, this is probably the best answer. Tanakama said, Shlosha Yamim, right? Lifnei Dehem Shlosha Yamim, you can't do Masa Umatan. And what does Chachamim say here? Lifnei Dehem Asur, Lachari Dehem Mutar. So he doesn't give a number. So maybe the Chachamim here hold like Achum Amadi, who says it's only one day before. Rabbanan Batrai eat luhu de Nachum HaMadi, right? So the Tanakhama says, we don't hold that way, it's 3 days. And these rabbis say, it's one day. Okay, now we're going to get into Nachum HaMadi. I told you earlier that we're going to get into all these people who kind of have their own opinion against the rabbis. So the first one we saw today was Rabbi Yishuv ben Korcha, who Dafka was supported, right? His opinion was accepted in many cases. Now we're going to see Nebuch Nachum HaMadi, whose opinions don't really get accepted. Now you have to remember, he was a bit of an outsider. He came from Medes, and he came to Eretz Israel, and they call him Nachum HaMadi. First of all, he doesn't have the Torah rabbi, and which, by the way, I was reading somewhere that it was very typical for the earlier Tanaim not to have a title of rabbi. Okay, a lot of the earlier ones didn't, like Hillel, Shammai, Shmaya, Avtalion, right? They're not called rabbi. So he was like the earlier ones, but they also call him Hamadai, right? Like from there, okay? And here we're going to see the reaction to his opinions. So he says, "Eino asur la yom echad lifnei eden." Amrulo, the rabbi said to him, "Nishtaka davar velo ne'emar." What you said should be buried and should never be said. Okay, not the nicest way of reacting to his statement. So then they say, "But according to the way we just read our Mishnah, doesn't our Mishnah follow his opinion?" V'ha'ika rabbanan batrai dekaima kavatei. Right? Didn't we just explain the Chachamim in our Mishnah is saying that? So why were they so demeaning to him? So when they say, "Oh, man chachamim, Nachum HaMadaihu." Okay, who are the chachamim here? Oh, it's this guy Nachum. Okay, meaning it's not, now this is a strange reading, it's not really chachamim. It's just him, but they call it chachamim, but it's really him. Why they would do that is a good question. Maybe it was just a mistake. And they're saying, well, it was a mistake. It was passed down the name chachamim, but really it was his opinion. Again, this is all assuming that that's what it means when it says, Lifnei dehem asur, lachari dehem mutar. You know, another way, by the way, of understanding this whole Mishnah is to say that the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah were taught kind of differently and ended up being put together in the Mishnah. And there's Rabbi Yishmael versus Chachamim, and Chachamim is the same as our Tanakhama. It's just, it was kind of kept together as this discussion where, you know, Rabbi Yishmael says 3 days before and 3 days after, and Chachamim say, no, just before, not after, which matched the opinion of the first Mishnah. And for whatever reason, they also brought the first Mishnah to, you know, and maybe it was kind of these collections of Mishnayot that just got sort of put together. Why you would have put them together like this is a good question, but it might be a better answer than the ones we're giving, where we're trying to come up with creative interpretations as to what really is going on here. Tanya Idach, another braita about Nechum HaMadi. Nechum HaMadi Omer, Mochrim Lahem Sus Zachar V'Zakem B'Milchama. You can sell them, now there's a difference of Nusach, whether it's a Zachar Zakem B'Milchama, whether there's a Vav there or not. You can see what the difference is. If it's a horse that's a male and he's old in a war, what's the issue? We assume if they're using it for war, he's going to die. If he's Zakem, right, then he's going to die. Or even just a sus zachar, or a sus zakem, which isn't a zachar, just any old horse, in a milchama, either one, we're concerned that we assume the sus will get killed, and therefore, again, it's not something that's going to last, and it's not something that's going to, you know, and basically, we can sell them that. Amru lo, nishtaka davar velo ne'amar, right? This should be sunk and should never be said. V'ha'ika ben b'tera d'chai kavate, isn't there, now this is going to be the same flow each time. We're going to bring the Chum HaMadi, they're going to knock him down, and then we're going to say, oh, but isn't there someone who holds like him? Okay? And then each time we're going to say, oh, they don't really hold like him. Okay? You just think they do, but they don't really. Okay? What they're saying is a little different. Okay. So now, so what's this case? Ditnan ben Batera matir besus. Okay, it says that Ben Batera is probably Ditanya. Oh no, it's a Mishnah. Ditanan. It says in the Mishnah, Ben Batera is Matir Asus. Okay? So they say, oh no, that's not the same as him, because Ben Batera lo maflu ben zachar le nekevot. Iyum idika maflu ben zachar le nekevot ke rabbanan sfirale. Ula rabbanan nishka davar velo ne'emar. If he held like Ben Batera, he wouldn't have Ben Batera doesn't distinguish. He just says any horse is allowed. What's the assumption? The horses weren't things they were offering to their Avodah Zarah, right? You don't bring a horse as a sacrifice. So the horses were allowed, but not, right, not anything else. So if Nechum HaMadi was holding like Ben Batera, he wouldn't have distinguished between Zachar and Nekeva. The fact that he distinguishes means that he's referring to within Rabbanan's opinion, and therefore the rabbis say, you're taking our opinion the wrong way, we disagree with you, and you should never say this. Next source of Nechum HaMadi. Tanya, Nechum HaMadi Omer, Hashevet mit aser, zera v'yerech v'zirin. Okay, this is a dill plant, which has three different stages of growth. Okay, there's, it has the, right, how does it work? It grows a seed, and then, right, then it grows a leaf, and then it has these pods that grow. So the question is, at what point is it considered food that people are going to eat it? Okay, do people eat the leaves? Do people eat the, right? At the point where it becomes food, then it's chayav in masrot. So he said that all these stages people eat it, and therefore you should take masrot from the very beginning. If it's not really food yet, it's just a leaf, right? Then you wouldn't. But if you eat the leaves, then, and it would be considered food, then you would do it. Like a lettuce leaf, right? Think about it. If you plant lettuce leaves, since they're food. Okay, we distinguish generally, it's interesting, they call this dill. I don't know if it's a dill plant that we recognize the dill plant, because dill is generally spices. Spices we don't consider it eating. But if you eat them, like lettuce, okay, if you grow rouquette or something, then you have to take maser on them. If you grow spices, then you don't, because they distinguish between spices and leaves that people really eat as food. So anyway, he says you do it at all three stages. Amru lo nishtaka davar velo ne'emar. So they say, Ba'ika Rabbi Eliezer, Kai Kabate, Ditznan, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Hashevet mitaseret, Zera, v'yerek, v'zirin. So he says, oh look, you do take maaser in all the three stages, so why are you so against Nechum HaMadi? Hatam bidagnunita. He was talking about a domestic plant, whereas that was Rabbi Eliezer, where people really do eat it, but Nechum HaMadi was talking about wild plants. And wild plants, nobody eats them at the earlier stages, they only eat them at the later stage. Okay, so therefore, they were against him. Again, I think there's more going on than this whole discussion. I think they were really against him, and I think people were trying to support and say, why are you so against this guy, you know? And they're bringing, like, proof texts, and they can answer them up, but really, they're trying to say, what did you have against this guy? Why were you so anti? And again, it could be just he was an outsider, and they, you know, he was bringing some opinions that they weren't common opinions, and they didn't like it, and maybe there was some other things going on there. Amalei Rav Acha Bar Ben Yumi La Abaye. And here he says it, okay? So Rav Acha bar Yehuda says to Abaye, okay, this is many generations later, right? There's fourth generations of Moraim, and this is early Tanaim. Gavra Rabba Atame Atrin, Komilte Da'amar, Amrilay Nishaka, Davar Velone Amar. Here this big guy comes to town, big important rabbi, and all they said to him was, Nishaka, Davar Velone Amar, how can they possibly be so disrespectful to him? Amar, Ikachada Davdina Kavate. There actually is one case where they held like him. Okay, this was his answer. He's trying to say, don't think they were so mean to him and so disparaging of him. But in fact, there was a case where they held like him. Which case is this? Okay, if you have some personal bakasha to give in your tefillah, you add it in during shomea tefillah. He says that. So they say, bar minei dahi. Oh, that one doesn't count. Okay, when he says, they held like him in this. Don't count that one. That's not, they didn't hold like him because he said it. Detalya ba'ashle ravarve. We've seen this phrase before. Either it means the thick ropes or something, but basically what it means is he connected himself to bigger rabbis. This wasn't an opinion he came up on his own with, and he said and he taught. This was something that many other people said before him, and therefore it's not because he said it that they accepted it. It's because other people had said it. Detanya, how do we know this? Rabbi Lezer Omer, Shoel Adam Tzrachav, V'achar Kach Yitpalel, Shneemar, Tfila Lani Tkiyatov, Lepnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho, Ve'in Sicha Ela Tfila, Shneemar, Ve'yitzei Lishchak Lasuach Basadeh. Okay, this doesn't connect yet, but the first opinion is, you should first ask for what you want, and then you daven. Okay, because it says, Tfila Lani Tkiyatov, that you should, the Ani should, be Otef Etzatzmo B'tfila, Ve'lepnei Hashem Yishpoch Sicho. And the ain sicha letfilah, the tefillah comes last. Shneimar v'yitzei yischak l'suach pasadeh, and therefore his tefillah should come after his bakasha. Rabbi Yeshua omer, yitpalel v'achar kach yishal tzrachav. First he should daven to God, meaning like praise God, and then he should ask. Shneimar, eshpoch lefanai sichi, tzarati lefanav agid. Okay, the first I should leshpoch my sicha, my tefillah, and then tzarati lefanav agid. Then I say all my problems. Rabbi Lezer, Nami Haktiv Eshpoch Lepanav Sichi, right? What about Rabbi Lezer? Why doesn't he hold by that pasuk? Hachi Kamar, he reads the pasuk the opposite. Eshpoch Lepanav Sichi, Bizman Shetzarati Lepanav Agid. When am I going to give my tefillah? At the same time that I'm telling my problems, meaning I'll tell my problems and then I'll praise God. Rabbi Yeshua, Nami Haktiv Tefillah Lani Kiyatov. What about Rabbi Yeshua? Doesn't he say, how does he understand that pasuk? Hachi kamar, ematai tefillah la'ani, when should the ani pray? Bizman shelefnei Hashem yishpoch sicho. Again, he flips the pasuk and he says, it's all at the time that he's praising God. Michti cry, lo kemar daike, velo kemar daike. Since either pasuk can be read either which way, so, b'may kamiflege, really what's the root of their machloket? In other words, this doesn't have to do with the psukim. Let's be real. They're not getting it from the psukim. There's obviously something else going on here. What's going on? Kedidarish Rabbi Simlai. Kedidarish Rabbi Simlai. Lo'olam yisader adam shibchosh amachkom v'achar kach yitpalel. We all know this, right? First, and you can see this only matches one of the opinions. First, you should praise God, right? It's like everybody says, you go to your parents to ask for something, and you speak very nicely. Oh, you look so nice today. Everything. Thanks for doing this. By the way, can I take the car? Okay. So, you should always do this. First praise, then daven. Where do we learn this from? Moshe Rabbeinu, Dichtiv, Hashem Elokim, right in Parashat Betchana, Tachilot Alarot Et Avdecha, Uchtiv Vatrei, Abrana Veret Et Aretz HaTova, right? And then you start showing me all this, right? All this praise of God. And then he says, can I go into the land? Rabbi Yeshua Savar, Yafina Mimoshe. So Rabbi Yeshua says, we learn from Moshe, that the way Moshe daven, right? That should be our model. Rabbi Eliezer Savar, it's interesting that I'm sure you've heard this many times before, but you've probably never heard the second opinion, right? We always quote this, that we learn from Moshe, you're supposed to first praise, and then, right, because that's also what we do. But here, it's interesting, there's this other opinion. Rabbi Lezer Sevar, lo yalfina mi Moshe. Shani Moshe derav guvrei. Moshe was a great man, so it's appropriate for him to praise God and then ask for something. But we're not like on Moshe's level, and it's what's called Yohara. It's Rashi says it. It's Yohara. It's like we're saying we're so great that we can just praise God and then ask Him for something, right? It's a little bit, it's not appropriate. Moshe Rabbeinu had the schut to do that. For us to start doing that, it's not appropriate. So we should just go the more honest approach. Let's ask for what we need, and then we'll praise God. Okay, that's his approach, which is a very interesting approach. Anyway, we haven't gotten to our point yet. If you remember, where did we start? We were trying to understand the Chumah Madi's opinion about Shoel Adam Trachav B'Shomea Tefillah, which doesn't have to do with this machloket. So in the context of that, we said, well, it's not because of him that they held that way. It's because of other people, right? Which didn't really answer then. What was his name? Rav Acha Bar Menyumi's question to Abai, how could it be that they knocked everything down, right? In the end, Abai says, well, they did hold by this, but now he said, no, they didn't. They held by this because of other people, and here we're going to see the other people. V'chachamim omrim lo kedivreze, but lo kedivreze. It's neither of these things. Ela shoel adam tzracha b'shamea tefillah. There you have it, okay? And that's the opinion of Nechum HaMadi. So you see that Nechum HaMadi's opinion was actually held by Chachamim here. Okay, we don't hold like either one, which is interesting, because we really do hold. We hold by both, really, right? We do hold by Rabbi Yeshua, that we do learn from Moshe, but also we ask our own personal tzrochim b'shomea tefillah. And then according to the Masoret HaShas, you're supposed to read Amar Rabbi... Rabbi Yochanan, I guess. Atishap, or I don't know what the words are. Amar Rabbi, no, it should be, oh, sorry. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Halacha Kedibrei Chachamim, I see. Instead of Halacha Shoel Adam Tzracha B'Shomea Tefillah, it should say Halacha Kedibrei Chachamim. Okay, and that's why we paskan like Nechum HaMadi. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Berei Rav Shila Mishmei Derav, Af Al Pi Shamru Shoel Adam Tzracha B'Shomea Tefillah. Here we're adding another halacha about this. Okay, we're getting totally sidetracked into tefillah, very interesting things. So even though we say you should add things in Shomea Tefillah, Avalim Balomar B'Sof Kol Bracha U'Bracha Me'ein Kol Bracha U'Bracha Omer. Okay, but if you have things that relate to a particular individual bakasha that relates to the context of a particular bracha, you should add it there. Amar Rabbi Bar Ashi Amarav Af Al Pi Shamru Shoel Adam Tzracha B'Shomea Tefillah. This is where we get it, that you add in Rafa'enu a tefillah for cholim. Okay, and if you want parnasa, berkat hashanim, barech aleinu is where we ask a bakasha for parnasa. Those were, I think, the two major bakashot that people have, right, for health or wealth. I'm Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Alpha pisham rusho el adam shachav shomei tefillah. Aval balomar achar tefillato afilu keseder yom kippurim omer. Okay, now even though you're supposed to do it in Shema Tefillah, if you want to do it after your Tefillah, you can also do that. Okay? Right, 1 second. This is right. So this is where people also have the minhag, that let's say you wanted to say something in Shema Tefillah and you didn't. So after, before you say that you hear Ratzon at the end, you can add in your own personal bakasha at that point. That's what he means after the tefillah. Of kafilu, what they say, keseder yom kippurim, means the vidoy of yom kippurim. If you wanted to add that, right, like the way we add vidoy, where do we add the vidoy? After, just before the yiratzan, right before the, that's where we would add it, your own personal tefillah.